This is Money in Motion with Klaus Financial, a fun and informative show designed to help you get answers to all your retirement questions in one place.
And our phone lines are open for you this morning. Love to get you on the air with our retirement planning professionals, CJ Klaus and Malia Cuevas. Of course, they come to us from Klaus Financial. Telephone number to get on the air with CJ and Malia here at the station, 608-321-1310. That's 608-321-1310. You can learn more about Klaus Financial on their website, klausfinancial.com. That's K-L-A-A-S financial.com. And one of the great things, a couple of great things when you stop by, you can learn more about Klaus Financial. You can sign up for the weekly Market Pulse newsletter, a fantastic weekly snapshot of what's been going on in the markets, as well as a link to the most recent podcast. It's also great to look at the beautiful pictures and think spring is going to be here any moment now. That at klausfinancial.com, K-L-A-A-S financial.com, and their telephone number, 608-442-5637. No charge for that initial get-to-know-you appointment at Klaus Financial. It is complimentary to you. As mentioned, joining us this morning are CJ Klaus and Malia Cuevas. CJ, how you doing today?
Doing great. How are you, Sean?
I'm doing really well. Malia, what is going on with this snow?
I don't know. But I'm just looking at the date. 32323 sounds pretty cool today.
Yeah. Is that a true... What is that?
It's not what you're saying. Yeah, I know what you're saying. It's not one of those, but it's still cool.
Yeah, it's very cool. It's, yeah, like race car or rise to vote, sir.
Yeah, it's not that, but it's just cool.
It is very cool. And it's a great day as we're going to talk this morning. I remember is Justin Wilson, the Cajun chef, that used to say, I guarantee it. We're going to talk about that word today, what that means. Not so much about food and cooking, more about when you hear that word around when it comes to for the financial world. We'll get the details from CJ and Malia on that in just a moment. As mentioned, the phone lines are open, 608-321-1310. That's 321-1310. Klaus Financial, the website, klausfinancial.com, K-L-A-A-S financial.com, and their telephone number, 608-442-5637. Always have a lot of fun, great opportunities as well in the program. Later on in the show, I have a chance for you to win a $25 gift card to Amazon from our friends at Klaus Financial with the Klaus Quiz Question of the Week. And again, we'll do another one this morning. And speaking of the quiz question of the week, let's take a look at last week's program, the question and the answer there as well.
Yeah, so thanks everyone for listening last week. We were discussing 401ks and rolling those over. And the question was, if you roll an employer plan like a 401k and IRA, is this considered a taxable event? Brenda of Waunakee called in first with a correct answer. Congratulations to her. The correct answer is false. It is not a taxable event. So thank you for listening and listen carefully today.
And again, typically the question and answer come up. Congratulations during the program. Congratulations to Brenda as well of Waunakee. Phone lines are open, 608-321-1310. That's 321-1310. And today we're going to be talking about that word guarantee, which everyone loves to hear. And I think all of us included on that. Let's talk about, though, about what a guarantees people can look for and or expect in regards to the money that we keep in our local banks, since there's obviously been news in the headlines lately. What exactly does the FDIC actually mean, and what does it actually guarantee?
Yeah, this is important for consumers to understand. And as you just indicated there, Sean, certainly during this time when we see, you know, banks like Silicon Valley Bank, SVB, and others like them struggling and in some cases filing bankruptcy. So to understand, hey, when I put my money in a bank or in a credit union, Malia, we'll talk about a little bit, what is actually guaranteed versus what is at risk if that bank were to go belly up? And of course, everyone wants the same thing. They want the greatest return they can possibly get with no risk, which unfortunately, that's not really the way the world works. If you want a higher rate of return, that typically comes with greater amounts of risk, which is often why people will put their money in banks or credit unions, by the way, is because they're very risk averse for those dollars. This is why I do it, by the way. I have a fair amount of money in an emergency reserve. We have a vacation fund. We have what's called a vehicle sinking fund, so that when we need to buy a new vehicle, the cash is just there and available. So we have a fair amount of cash in banks and credit unions, but the question would be, what is actually guaranteed? So we're going to talk about that today. We're going to start with the FDIC. And of course, as everybody knows, our industry just loves shortening long descriptions. So FDIC stands for Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, which is an independent agency of the United States government, and it protects you against the loss of your insured deposits if an FDIC-insured bank or savings association fails. FDIC insurance is backed by the full faith and credit of the United States government. Now, some people get cynical at this point. They go, well, the United States government, they're not very faithful, and they're struggling themselves. Well, listen, I understand you may think that and you may feel that way, but in a global sense, the dollar is the world's currency, and the United States government is viewed as the most stable entity in the world. Way more stable than your bank, way more stable than your insurance company, and way more stable than any company you work for. Now, that's the impression. I'm not saying that I don't understand and empathize with people's concerns around the debt the United States government has taken on, but when something is backed by the full faith and credit of the United States government, what that means is if that entity, in this case the FDIC, were to ever go belly up, then the U.S. government steps in. That's a pretty big statement. Now, the FDIC was created in 1933 in response to the thousands of banks in the late 20s and early 30s as part of the Great Depression. Since the start of the FDIC insurance on January 1st of 1934, no depositor has lost a single cent of, and listen carefully, of insured funds because of a bank failure. Again, no depositor since the creation of the FDIC in 1934 has lost a single cent of insured funds, which we're going to talk about what is insured. So FDIC deposit insurance currently covers the depositors of a failed FDIC insurance depository institution dollar for dollar, principal plus any interest accrued or due to the depositor through the date of default, up to $250,000. There's that number. That's the kind of the legal definition. Let me repeat that. FDIC deposit insurance currently covers the depositors of a failed FDIC insured depository institution dollar for dollar, principal plus any interest accrued or due to the depositor through the date of default, up to at least $250,000. Now, interestingly enough, prior to 2008, which 2008 was the subprime lending crisis, the financial crisis as it's notoriously called, FDIC coverage was at $100,000 per depositor, but that was permanently changed up to $250,000 in 2010. Depositors do not need to apply for FDIC insurance. This is critical. Sometimes people go, oh man, this is good. I'm going to go to my bank and apply for this. You don't need to apply for it as long as your institution is FDIC insured. So that is critical. If you're going to put money at a bank or credit union, most of them are going to be FDIC insured, whether you know it or not. But occasionally there might be one that's not. And so you do need to just verify that as you are depositing funds at any bank or credit union.
Talking this morning with CJ Kloss and Malia Cuevas, our retirement planning professionals from Kloss Financial. Phone lines are open right now, 608-321-1310. That's 321-1310. Love to get you on the air with Malia and CJ. Don't forget you can learn more about Kloss Financial online, klossfinancial.com. That's K-L-A-A-S financial.com. And their telephone number, 608-442-5637. What about coverage limits, CJ?
Yeah, so this is interesting. I mentioned that $250,000 is kind of the per individual number, but the way it gets applied is somewhat interesting. So I'm going to go through a quick summary here, but I would just encourage you, if you're concerned that you have over $250,000 at any one FDIC-insured banking institution, just talk to them to see if you are covered above and beyond that level. Because if you want funds insured by FDIC, then simply make sure that you're placing funds in an account at the FDIC-insured bank and make sure it doesn't exceed those that full maximum dollar amount. However, FDIC provides separate coverages for deposits held in different account ownership categories. So here'd be an example. The coverage limits for single accounts. So think I have an individual account and my name only at the bank, call it a checking account. That's up to $250,000. And then if I have a joint account with my spouse, which is often what people will do, well, then it's $250,000 per account owner, meaning that one account could have $500,000 in it and I'm still covered. Now, where it gets tricky is people go, oh, okay, so I'll have a checking account with $500,000 that's joint, and then I'll have an individual account with $250,000. You go, no, you can't double up like that. You can't do that. It's $250,000 per depositor. But you can have an IRA. So you could have an individual retirement account that has a separate $250,000 limit. And you could have a revocable trust that has a separate $250,000 limit per beneficiary, up to five beneficiaries per account. So you start to see the complexity. Our simple response to this would be most people, not corporations, but most people probably shouldn't be holding more than about $250,000 at any one bank anyways. But if you are listening to me, if you can hear my voice this morning and you know you have more than $250,000 at any one bank, I would just, my trying to be a friend to you, I would say warning. Go talk to your bank to make sure that your different registration types are fully covered. And if they are not, do yourself a favor and just move some of that excess money over to a separate bank to get separate FDIC coverage. Now, that's the key. Sometimes people go, oh, well, FDIC will only cover up to 250. It doesn't matter where my money is. That's not true. It's $250,000 per individual per bank that is FDIC insured. So you can simply reduce this risk by moving that money to a different bank. Now, if I haven't made my point clear enough, let's actually talk through a couple of interesting data points. As of 2022, there were 4,706 FDIC-insured commercial banks in the United States. However, there were 563 bank failures from 2001 through 2023. Now realize that 322 of those bank failures occurred between 2008 and 2010, the financial crisis. So a large portion of them happened within a 2 or 3 year time frame. However, let that sink in. Over 12 years, from 2001 to 2023, there have been 563 bank failures, most recently including SVB, Silicon Valley Bank. So our comment would be, it is the ultimate moment of humbling stupidity, if I can say so, if you put more than $250,000 into a bank because you are risk averse, only to come to find out that your bank goes under and you don't get all your money back. So just be aware of these limits and avoid going over them.
Very interesting data this morning from CJ Kloss and Malia Cuevas, our retirement planning professionals from Kloss Financial. Learn more online, klossfinancial.com. That's K-L-A-A-S financial.com. While you're there, you can subscribe to the weekly Market Pulse newsletter. It's a great weekly email. You can also listen back to this and previous shows' podcasts. You may have heard CJ mention the term sinking fund. What is that? We talked in great depth about it a few weeks ago. Fantastic opportunity to subscribe to the podcast right at klossfinancial.com. Their telephone number, 608-442-5637. No charge for that initial get to know you appointment at Kloss Financial. It is complimentary to you. Again, that number 608-442-5637. Talking about banks, what about credit unions? We'll get the details from Malia and we'll take your call next as Money in Motion with Kloss Financial continues right here on 1310 WIBA.
This is Money in Motion with Kloss Financial, a fun and informative show designed to help you get answers to all your retirement questions in one place.
Phone lines are open for you right now at 608-321-1310. That's 321-1310. Love to get you on the air with Malia Cuevas and CJ Kloss, our retirement planning professionals from Kloss Financial. Again, the number to get on the air this morning, 608-321-1310. Kloss Financial, you can learn more about them online, klossfinancial.com. That's K-L-A-A-S. Financial.com. The telephone number for the office right here in Madison, 608-442-5637. No charge for that initial get to know you appointment at Kloss Financial. It is complimentary to you. Again, the number 608-442-5637. Talking about guarantees when it comes to financial institutions, what to understand. We talked about banks, and then I think there's probably a good chunk of people that are saying, well, I have a credit union. What about if I keep money in a credit union versus the bank? Are there any guarantees there, Malia?
Yes, there are. And I'm glad you asked. And I want to just feed off of what CJ mentioned all about the FDIC. We like to direct our listeners to websites, which give you the nitty-gritty on what we're discussing today. So I would suggest people go to FDIC.gov to look up some of these interesting items that FDIC protects for. And if you go to that website, you'll find some misconceptions, which is really interesting as we discuss, you know, bank failures and so forth, and insurance coverage like this. And one of the myths out there is that the FDIC can take up to 99 years to pay insured deposits when a bank fails. That's a myth. And the FDIC website says they get a lot of people who call up, you know, inquiring about this because they've heard this. And they say that the truth is that federal law requires the FDIC to pay deposit insurance as soon as possible. It's usually within days. So that should make everyone feel a little better. The intention is within days, as long as you are within that $250,000 coverage per account. So alongside FDIC.gov, another website for the credit unions we're going to discuss is NCUA.gov. So that's the National Credit Union Share Association. And so they have what's called the National Credit Union Share Insurance Fund, which was created by Congress in 1970. So what that does is similar to FDIC. It insures members' deposits in those federally insured credit unions, and it's administered by the NCUA. And so what it does, similar to FDIC, it covers up to $250,000 of insurance, again, backed by the full faith and credit of the United States. And similarly to FDIC, members have never lost a penny of insured savings at one of those federally insured credit unions. So the question for you is your credit union a member? Usually federal insured credit unions, they're required to indicate their status in their advertising, and of course they're proud to do that and display the official, in this case it's NCUSIF insurance fund sign in their offices or branches. So you can go to ncua.gov and you can see a complete directory of those federally insured credit unions. Make sure yours is on there. Again, similar to FDIC, that limit, $250,000 limit, the limit applies per depositor and per insured bank for each ownership category. So what we want to remind people is that FDIC and NCUA share insurance does not cover funds in investments such as stocks, bonds, mutual funds, life insurance policies, annuities, or municipal securities, even if they were purchased through an FDIC or NCUA insured bank or savings institution. Those are not covered. So we'll talk about the investment world here in a minute, but just be clear, even if they were purchased through them, they do not automatically have that type of insurance coverage. And similar to banks, we look at how many credit unions are out there. You know, credit unions used to be exclusive to, you know, a particular company, and they only allowed their own employees to be members. Well, now that's pretty much opened up across the country. Just about anybody can join most credit unions. And today there's over 5,000 federally insured credit unions, and they now serve over 135 million members. So that is quite a number of people out there storing away their money in either banks or credit unions. We definitely would recommend do that instead of a hole in your front yard, which I do hear people say, maybe I should just dig a hole in my front yard. Don't do that.
Two things I've learned. Don't bury your money and don't believe what's shared on social media, because sometimes it can be bad information. Great information, as always, from our retirement planning professionals at Kloss Financial, CJ Kloss and Malia Cuevas. You can learn more online, the website, klossfinancial.com. That's K-L-A-A-S financial.com. Their telephone number, 442-5637. No charge for that initial get-to-know-you appointment at Kloss Financial. It is complimentary to you. Again, the number, 608-442-5637. So what about investments? Are there guarantees available for those in my retirement accounts or after-tax accounts? What do people need to know there, CJ?
Yeah, the investment frontier is a little different to understand, and it's important, again, to figure out how you're protected there. But it does make some intuitive sense in that if I go to a a bank to put my money there, the whole intent is that I am a risk-averse individual, and therefore I need to be aware of these insurance limits just in case, God forbid, the bank goes belly up. And I say God forbid, but 563 of these instances have occurred in the last 12 years, so it's not as though this is infrequent, to say the least. But when it gets into investments, by definition, when I start buying a stock, when I start buying a mutual fund with equity exposure, when I start buying into fixed income products, which are also synonymous with bonds, well, now I'm willing to take on some measure of risk. And therefore, the insurance that is provided is not to insure you against that risk, right? Because it'd be the equivalent of me saying, you know, I'm going to invest in XYZ stock, but I'm going to have an insurance policy that makes sure I never lose money. Well, that's not the way it works. There are ways, there's some brokers out there that are saying, yeah, there's ways to short your stock and there's ways to de-risk yourself in owning an equity. So that's all true, but it's not through an insurance plan. However, you should know that most people have seen the signs on financial institutions which say SIPC, which that stands for Securities Investor Protection Corporation. And this came into being in the late 1960s because of very high trading volume accompanied by steep declines of stock prices. And then during that time, there were many broker-dealers that had merged or went out of business and they couldn't meet the obligations to their customers and they went bankrupt. Hence, the public confidence, of course, in U.S. securities markets was tenuous at the time, not just because of stock market volatility, but also because of losing access to their securities through their brokerage institution. As a result of those kind of extreme times, Congress passed the Securities Investors Protection Act of 1970, and the purpose was to protect customers against certain types of losses resulting from broker-dealer failure and to promote investor confidence in the public markets. Bottom line, if your brokerage firm goes out of business and is a member of the SIPC, then your cash and securities held by the brokerage firm may be protected up to $500,000 per account per brokerage firm, which would include up to $250,000 of which could be in cash at that brokerage firm. So SIPC insurance covers most types of securities, stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. If a SIPC, and by the way, SIPC, we shorten it to SIPC. If a SIPC member becomes insolvent, SIPC will ask a court to appoint a trustee to supervise the firm's liquidation and to process investors' claims. So here would be an example of this. If this was, if you had kind of watched through the Bernie Madoff situation, as part of the end of the 2020, the trustee for the Bernard Madoff Investment Securities liquidation had recovered $14.4 billion with a B, and distributed nearly $13.9 billion to investors. There's an example, right, where some level of insolvency and SIPC comes in. However, again, as I said to you, SIPC does not protect you against losses caused by a decline in the market value of your securities, nor does it offer protection from investment contracts not registered with the SEC. So it is important to realize it is still critical when you work with a firm like ours. We clear through Fidelity, by the way. Any other registered investment advisors might clear through Schwab or Pershing. It is critical to know, where do you clear your transactions? How do you function and operate? Do you hold custody of my assets at any point? Custody is the idea that I take your cash and put it in a vault somewhere. These are important things to know because, again, it is the ultimate humbling, frustrating, disappointing moment when you're working with somebody that you think you can trust or an institution that you can trust, only to come to find out that there's problems.
Talking this morning with CJ Kloss and Malia Cuevas, our retirement planning professionals from Kloss Financial. Learn more online, klossfinancial.com. That's K-L-A-A-S financial.com. And their telephone number is 608-442-5637. And CJ, when you talk about this stuff too, I know we got some stats up when it comes to the FDIC. Anything as far as when it comes to SIPC, some numbers people need to be aware of there?
Yeah, definitely. So since the creation of SIPC, and interestingly enough, 2020 marked the 50th anniversary of the creation of SIPC in 1970. So since the creation, they have recovered $140 billion in assets for over 770,000 investors. Two of the largest brokerage firm failures in history where SIPC came into place was, of course, the failure of Lehman Brothers in 2008, followed months later by exposure of the Ponzi scheme of Bernie Madoff Investment Securities. all brokerage firms that sell stocks or bonds to the investing public or that clear such transactions, all of those brokerage firms are required to be a member of SIPC. So today, SIPC protects customers of over 3,500 securities brokerage firms. So long story short, if you are clearing trades through somebody like Fidelity, Schwab, TD Ameritrade, most of these custodial organizations, they are required to be members of SIPC and you have that protection. Again, it's not something that you have to apply for.
That is fascinating. Talking this morning with CJ Kloss and Malia Cuevas, our retirement planning professionals from Kloss Financial. A lot of great information this week, a lot of great information each and every week. Don't forget, you can listen back to this and previous shows, podcasts, all online, KlossFinancial.com. That's K-L-A-A-S, Financial.com. Their telephone number, 608-442-5637. No charge for that initial get-to-know-you appointment at Kloss Financial. It is complimentary to you. Again, the telephone number, 608-442-5637. Want to hold on to that number? Coming up in the next segment, we'll do the Kloss Quiz Question of the Week, a chance for you to win a $25 gift card to Amazon. We'll also open up the email bag. Laura wrote a great question. We'll get a response from our friends at Kloss Financial. We will do that next as Money in Motion with Kloss Financial continues right here on 1310 WIBA.
This is Money in Motion with Kloss Financial, a fun and informative show designed to help you get answers to all your retirement questions in one place.
Chatting with our retirement planning professionals, Malia Cuevas and CJ Kloss. Learn more online, KlossFinancial.com. That's K-L-A-A-S, Financial.com. Also, while you're there, you can submit a question to be answered in the Money in Motion Listener Question Corner. This week, Laura writes in. She says, I have been told that after I retire, I will need to begin taking money out of my retirement accounts. I know that the age has changed, but I'm just turning 67 this year. When do I have to consider doing this? And that's from Laura.
Yeah, that's thanks for the question, Laura. And it's funny, as you get into toward closer to retirement, you suddenly pay attention to these dates and these ages and everything. So we appreciate that question today. So the age that you'll need to begin these has changed and may likely be changing again in the future. So previously, we heard that at 70 and a half, you were going to have to start taking out a small distribution from those tax-deferred retirement accounts. And then that age actually changed to 72. And those RMDs, required minimum distributions, need to come out of traditional IRAs, for old 401ks, 403bs. But the recent adjustment just happened this year. So if you were born between 1951 and 1959, you will now need to start your RMDs after age 73. So short answer to this is you have some time. You can always take money out of those accounts sooner, of course. And of course, you pay associated taxes, but you're not required until age 73 at this point. Now, it's going to change again. At least that's what's on tap at this point. In 2033, the RMD age is going to be further increased to age 75. So if you're born in 1960 or later, those RMDs will be able to be delayed till after age 75. Thanks for the question.
Great emails. Don't forget, you can always email and get your question answered right here. Just head on over to KlossFinancial.com. That's K-L-A-A-S, Financial.com. Learn all about Kloss Financial on their website. Great website. Their telephone number, 608-442-5637. No charge for that initial get-to-know-you appointment at Kloss Financial. It is complimentary to you. Again, their number, 608-442-5637. Want to hold on to that telephone number as well because it's time now for the Kloss Quiz Question of the Week. It works like this. In just a moment, I will ask you the Kloss Quiz Question of the Week. You will then have 30 minutes from the end of today's program to call the Kloss Financial Office right here in Madison at 608-442-5637. If you are the first caller with the correct answer, you will win this week's prize, which is a $25 gift card for Amazon. This week's Kloss Quiz Question of the Week is this: true or false? FDIC-insured accounts cover a depositor up to $250,000 per ownership category. Telephone number, 608-442-5637. First call with the correct answer will win the $25 gift card to Amazon. And again, that's Kloss Financial's office right here in Madison, 608-442-5637. CJ, Malia, it's always great chatting with you guys. Enjoy this great day.
Thanks, Sean.
Be heading over to Dane County Regional Flight of Lights. It's back coming up this week. We'll get the details from them next as Ask the Experts continues here on 1310 WIBA.
This is Money in Motion with Kloss Financial Asset Advisors, LLC, a registered investment advisor registered with the SEC. The content of this show is for informational purposes only and should not be considered individual investment advice. Kloss Financial does not offer tax or legal advice. Any opinion offered during the course of this show is the opinion of that particular investment advisor representative and not necessarily the opinion of Kloss Financial.